there's an overwhelming fierceness to your music in terms of like both lyrical content and sound. It's bold, upfront, exuberant, and never afraid to speak out about challenging subjects. Where does this confidence and bravado come from? Can you attribute it to anything in particular?
Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. I think I'd attribute it to my parents, you know, just teaching myself and my siblings to always speak our mind. We were raised here on the continent, obviously facing our own struggles and facing our own journeys and, you know, just always told to be confident and upfront about what we're going through, to always speak up for ourselves and speak our mind. So is definitely something that came from my parents.
Have they listened to your music? I would imagine they have, but how do they feel about it? Is it something they get into as well?
Yes, they have listened to my music. It did take a while though, because you know, rap mom is like, okay, you're rapping too fast. I can't hear what you're saying. But they have listened to it, and over time they've just grown to love, like you said, the passion that comes with it, the passion I have for my music, the journey that my music has taken me and what it represents to us and our country. So they're really proud. They do listen to it. My dad loves Never Forget.
Oh, it's a family favorite. Love it.
Yeah.
take us back. Was there a favorite memory that you have from growing up? You know, a moment where sort of music really first came into your life? Was it a song or a moment? Can you remember when sort of it became evident that music was going to be a part of your life?
Yeah, I was born in Zambia, raised in Botswana, and sort of raised between the two countries, their neighboring countries. And during my childhood, I believe I was 8 or 9, I remember going to, you know, a bridal shower, a kitchen party is what we call it, with my mom. And I just remember all the women sitting together and sort of singing this song. And I don't remember what the song was, but I do remember them singing it in unison. And at one point, I think I had to look up because it sounded like it was one voice singing, but it was all these different women singing. And I remember being so captivated by that moment and being like, wow, this music thing is really magical. And I may have not known then, but that's definitely the moment I was like, music is something that is different. Music is something that is magical. And I think that continued to translate throughout, you know, just how we use music culturally as a way to talk to each other, to just how we use it as a comfort. It just became that tool of communication for me and that tool of feeling. And I think those were one of the very rare first moments that I knew that music was something special.
Do you think that moving to Zambia has influenced your sound moving forward?
I mean, it's definitely given a huge influence to this moment in time. I mean, Zamrock has really altered the way I think about music from where I'm from. This is the first time I've gotten to be Sampa the Great as the musician in my own country. And so with that will come the huge inspiration of finding out that there was a genre that blew up in my country and finding out how I connected that one through family ties. I mean, I had a family member who was part of the legendary band, which, you know, one of the bands that went global in my country that I had not known about. So
yeah,
all these new
amazing.
revelations, yeah, so all these new revelations are just like, wow. In the journey of coming back, in the journey of rediscovering who Sampa the Great is in Zambia, I got to find out about this genre of music that took the world by storm. And so with that came, oh, Zamrock is inspiring the music that I'm going to do for this project. And I'm always a person who grows with my music. I'm always a person who also takes time to listen to different types of music. So at the moment right now, I'm experimenting with music, and who knows what the new project will sound like. But Zamrock has definitely held a huge influence to the moment that I came back home and I, you know, I started making music from home with people from Zambia.
Yeah, incredible. And yeah, that band Witch, like, is so fantastic. I actually had a strange
Amazing.
path to discovering them myself, and I know they're coming for the Perth Festival as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's so beautiful. I'm gonna have to find out what time and what day so I can jump on stage.
Yeah,
That is my main
definitely.
goal, to
Yeah.
jump on stage with Witch and do the song we did together. It's just so funny because their lead singer, Mr. Jaggery, who I talk to all the time, is really good friends with my uncle. And my uncle was part of, the founding of that band. And it finally gives me a sense of, family doing music, because for a while there, it was just me doing music, and it was just this uncharted water of fear and anxiety and doubt, because, no one had done it before me. But to find out that
Right.
my uncle was part of that, and he's still here, still inspiring me to continue, and friends with people who inspire me, is just it fills me up, because now I know where that inspiration came from. So, at Perth Festival, I'm going to just make sure that we're around Perth the same time, so I can jump up on stage and hopefully have him jump up on stage for my show, as he did when we did our show in Zambia. It would be epic.
Yeah, epic, absolutely. And that feeling, I guess, then of it's like completing a jigsaw puzzle, I feel like, where you're like, where is this passion, where is this love come from? And it's actually been, it's in the family. And yeah, I can't imagine what that making that joining those dots together must have been like. It's pretty unreal. Did you feel in the past, I guess, like the odd one out? But I think musicians often feel that way, that you're called to do something a bit different, and it can be lonely. Yeah.
100%. Definitely odd one out, and definitely the first to do something. I mean, in terms of hip hop, yes. And so to find out that there is a family member, and also to tour with family members. I tour with my sister Mwanje. My cousin Tio sings for me at times, and Kasonde drums for me, my cousin Kasonde. So it's literally a Jackson 5 situation. So to go from, not really knowing if music is a passion and not having family, to literally just being on board and surrounded by family. So it's a beautiful 360. I think the past 3 years has really, brought that full circle together.
How's your experience in terms of performing live? Is it something that comes naturally to you? Is Sampa the Great more like a persona that you put on? Are you the same person on stage as you are off?
I think being on stage is the most natural thing that comes to me. I think my family are performers in a different sense. I mean, the way we even just tell stories is really dramatic. Like, it just, it goes from arm movements to let me show you, let me just, act it out for you. So we've just always been these very expressive people. And to bring that on stage is something that's very natural for me. People do say that the energy is, something different, like when you're on stage. I just see it as the same person. I mean, the passion obviously is expressed more when I'm on stage and I'm expressing these songs. But I do think it's the same person. I mean, it's me through and through. I love music and I love what I do, and I think the stage is the most natural state for me.
Yeah, it's somewhere you feel comfortable. It brings me to, you just actually demonstrated something I was going to ask you about. I've affectionately sort of described something that happens to your voice. I call it like a fifth gear that you go into, where it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like if you're driving in a really high performance car and you put it in nitro, like it goes into, I don't know. Like, it's a raspy kind of growl that is like so exhilarating when you do it. Do you know what I'm talking about? This like rasp, like, turbo sort of version of your voice that you go into?
I think I do. I think that's the
I was gonna say, was there a moment where it sort of first came out, and like, has it been a part of
Zamrock
your voice the entire time, or did you kind of discover it? Did it just appear one day, or what was that
in
process
me.
like?
I think I somewhat talk about how, I'd often be the one in the class with a deeper voice, even though I was like the girl in the class. Like everyone would be like, present, present. I'd be like, present. And that's just always been my voice. Like I've always had like a strong ra raspy sort of voice. But I think I do know the voice you're talking about. And I think that's just the, I think that's the Zamrock in me. I think I'm sticking with that statement.
Fair enough. I wanted to ask you some questions about the album that you put out in late 2022, As Above, So Below. It's just been, especially here at RTRFM, so beloved. It was a feature album. Why did you decide to call the album As Above, So Below? It feels like there's maybe a spiritual component to that title. Is music something that's spiritual for you?
Yeah, music has always been something spiritual. I mean, like I explained with the, experience I had when I was younger, I knew that it was something that was connecting all of us in the room together and making us all sound like one voice from that story. So it's always been something that has been spiritual. The inspiration from the title actually came from my dad. It's a Bible verse he always used to say, as above, so below. As in heaven, so on earth, basically. And I was just thinking about, being able to come back home, being able to be Sampa the Great in Zambia, and having this full moment of not being a split person, not being a person who is Zambian, who's currently based in Australia and doing music, but has never been an artist, of a Zambian artist, basically. And having that full moment, I mean, obviously due to the pandemic, being able to come back home and be an artist in my country, it just felt like there was no separation. As above, so below. Everything on the outside was matching what was on the inside. So it felt very transparent and very clear that this person is where they're supposed to be right now. And it just felt like the perfect title. I mean, I was also introducing music from home, musicians from home. My language was more prominent in my album as well. So it just felt like a full circle moment in that everything on the outside matched what was happening personally in my life. So as above, so below.
Yeah, a unification. I love that description. It's really beautiful. And you mentioned that there's traditional language on the release. I've always been really curious to know. I think it's the opening track, Shadow. There's a bit of spoken word at the end. What language is that spoken in, and who is it speaking, and what are they saying?
So that is Bemba. That's my mother's language in Bemba. And we did a live version of that for the deluxe. So we did we had Walia, who is the poet, speak in Bemba, and it's deep traditional Bemba. And she's sort of talking to Eve. And Eve is this character I created. And she's supposed to represent the first of. Again, going back to Bible stories or even just mitochondrial Eve, the first woman. And just talking to, my experiences, feeling like I was the first in my family to do something. And she's talking to this character and she's saying, you may be the first, but you're not the last. Don't feel like you're in isolation. Don't fear. This is opening up an opportunity to many people like you. So it's sort of an affirmation to myself to look back on when I listen to As Above, So Below, but also an affirmation to any other person who's walking into something they've never done before, and is sort of giving them the courage to do so.
Yeah, oh, amazing. I've been so curious about that. So you've now I can put those questions to rest, because I was like, oh, maybe I could Google translate it, and how could I work it out anyway? So thank you for that beautiful explanation. And of course, we've got to mention that you worked with so many incredible artists on that album. I mean, Koji Radical, Denzel Curry, Angelique Kidjo, which just blew my mind because
Me too.
yeah
Me too.
please tell us, what was that experience like? I mean, was Angelique, I'd love to hear about because she's such an incredible voice and one that I've gravitated to for ages. But was there a favorite moment with working with someone? Yeah, all the artists that were involved.
I mean, working with all the artists, especially my producer, Mac 44, was amazing because I watched Mac 44 blow up as I was growing up in
Yeah,
Botswana. So
wow.
it was really a 360 moment. Like, I watched him, I watched my cousin Tio, and I was like, wow, these guys are amazing. This I should do this. This is amazing. And sort of left that at that and went to school, went to Australia, and then music started for me. So to be able to come back and work with the people who inspired me in the beginning was wow. So that's the first thing. And then, to find a band from Zambia, to find a band who are passionate about music as well, and tour with them around the world, something that they've never done, and to show that it's possible to other Zambians has been an honor for me, very humbling. I remember doing an NPR Tiny Desk with my band, and it was the at-home version because we couldn't really go anywhere. And we posted it up on socials, and Angelique Kidjo saw, the video on Instagram, and she DM'd me. And I
Oh
remember
my
being like, this
Lord.
is crazy.
That's
Like, I
wild.
remember just like shouting and being like, oh. And so Wanjie gets the brunt of all my experiences. I'm like, Wanjie! And she comes to the bedroom. And she opens it because I'm like, I'm not gonna open the DM. Like, that's crazy. And so she opens it and she's like, oh, she says she loves the NPR Tiny Desk. She says she wants to work with you. And we're there like screaming for 5 minutes. And obviously, when you open a DM, it shows like you're typing. So I'm guessing for 5 minutes, Angelique is like, is she gonna respond to this DM? So we're just there in excitement. But all in all, she was inspired by the NPR Tiny Desk. She wanted to work with me on music. She told me that she's working on a song for her album that was Mother Nature at the time. And she sent me the instrumental. And, I went straight. I was like, everybody at the studio, this is what we're doing today. Like, cancel everything. This is what we're doing. And I couldn't write my verse to Mother Nature. And we're working on the album at the same time. So when I'm done, I'm just looking at everyone and I'm like, should I send her? Should I send her our music? Should I? So I put, her instrumental, all her stuff is done. I send my lyrics, I send everything. And then I sneakily add, let me be great instrumental in the email. I don't say anything, I just send it. And so obviously she sees her song, she sees the lyrics, all cool, all good. And she's like, what is this? And I kind of explain, listen, I'm like, I'm queen, legend. I'm working on my album as well. And I would love to have you on this album. And this is what this album means to me. Being able to come back home, it means a lot to me. And this is what this song in particular means to me. And I think, it was just that moment where an amazing thing happens and you have to take that opportunity to connect with that moment or you lose it forever. And knowing past me, I would have been like, nah, let me not bother her. Or, well, she's probably working on her album. This is, but you just constantly think about, I mean, practicing what you preach, you want to be the greatest version of yourself. You want to inspire people to be confident and this is an opportunity to practice that. And I think I just took that upon myself to be like, let me just be courageous and let me just ask her. Because Angelique Kidjo is a huge deal. I mean, on the continent, I know, globally as well, but here it's my parents love her. Like, she's just spanned through generations and has been a huge inspiration to everyone. So when she came back and she's like, send me the lyrics, I was like, I was just so floored. And I had Mwanje and my cousin, do the vocals as an example to her. Okay, this is what we would like you to sing. And she sends back her vocals, and they are so incredible that we all like mutually agreed to remove our vocals from the song. We're like, yeah, we need to take our vocals out. Angelique's vocals are just too powerful. Let's just remove this. And we laughed about it. But that's one of the most magical and natural moments that came from the album, like really natural, a lot of the features were really natural. Even the ones like Denzel was really natural. I wrote Lane, in Melbourne. I wrote some of what became Lane as in lyrics in Melbourne during the pandemic. And I remember thinking, who fits this description of someone who doesn't fit into a box and does music that, you know, they love in different forms and different ways? And obviously a lot of names came up, and Denzel was one of them. So a lot of the features came through very naturally and were just mostly about who does this song make me feel like listening to, basically. And yeah, a lot of the connections were really genuine about wanting to be part of the project. And I feel like that's the most beautiful part of As Above, So Below, is how much ease there was in connecting with different people. Nothing was forced, and just so much beauty came out of it in the end. I mean, Never Forget still surprises us. It's like the kid who keeps graduating. It's just like, you're amazing. You just keep doing amazing things. And it's just really beautiful for that to come out of something so natural and something so freeing. Yeah.
Yeah, someone once said to me that an artist's job is just to make, what feels authentic and true to you at the time, and then the trajectory of where it will go and who it connects with, you don't have control over, but it's just
100%.
incredible watching it, blossom and resonate and then draw other artists to you. Like, what an experience. Yeah, it's such a powerful track, that one as well. It's such a wonderful way to close the album with that. Just it's yeah, that anthemic "Let Me Be Great," which I really feel is something. I don't know if I have any qualification to say, but maybe that Australia needs to hear. I feel like it's sometimes a country where, like, the culture doesn't always allow for people to be great. Kind of wants to keep everybody on an even keel. And so being exceptional sometimes is like something that scares the culture. And I find that so disappointing sometimes. It's you want people to be, as you said, the best version of yourself. Wanted to ask you as well, when you were in Australia, something I didn't know about you, but you studied audio engineering, I was reading. How involved are you in the production side of creating your music?
Oh, I co-produced As Above, So Below, which was
Right,
a
so
really
heavily
big feat
involved.
for me. Yeah, very annoyingly involved. It's like sitting by the desk. Yeah, let's not do this. I'm very involved in the creation of any project because I want to make sure I give as much information as I can about the feel and the emotion to whoever I'm working with, whether it's the producer, whether it's the directors, who I really loved working with for this one. I mean, my creative director Rara was really amazing with bringing the visuals for Never Forget, for Lane, all that to life. But I feel like I need to give as much information as the artist. But for this one in particular, again, I was working with sounds that I grew up with, you know, and that to me is like I can easily, I know what this is supposed to sound like. I grew up on this sound. I can make this sound. And I was just really, you know, I was inspired by Mac 44, actually. He gave me the confidence to be like, do you know that you're more involved than artists are when making their projects? Do you know you could actually just produce this? Because that's what you're doing at this point, essentially. You're producing these songs, but you're not calling yourself a producer. And I was like, you're right. There aren't a lot of women producers in this industry. And I think that can also be a bit intimidating because, you know, you don't try and associate yourself with that for whatever reasons. But it really got me thinking about the work that I've done, even in my past projects, and how heavily involved I am in them, and to actually step up and, you know, credit myself for the work, but also grow myself in producing my own music. So I'm very heavily involved in it. I did audio engineering. I do know, you know, about the technical aspects of making music and making an album. So I definitely put those into practice and put a bit of confidence, a lot of confidence behind, you know, somebody great as a producer.
Yeah, wow. And would you consider Or you may have already, I'm not entirely sure, but producing somebody else's work, like, would that be a role that you would be interested in exploring?
100%, 100%. I mean, I write a lot of work, and I would love to write more music for other people, whether it's, singing, whether it's rapping. I'm very heavily involved in writing music, so that's definitely something to look forward to.
When I was listening to the album, I kept kind of centering back. There were so many tracks, but that I particularly resonated with. But there was one called, "Can I Live" on "As Above, So and Below," and it sort of appears to be about, potentially like sexism or racism. I wanted to ask, how has your experience been in the music industry? Do you feel like the industry is getting better?
In terms of the, industry being sexist and racist, that's still a problem. And I feel like, outside of the industry, just in general, socially, if that's a problem, it's going to seep into the industry regardless. Has it gotten better? I think it's more openly seen. I think it's more openly seen. I mean, we're seeing now lawsuits left, right, and center in the mainstream. This is now a mainstream conversation and how people get exploited and used in the music industry. It being more open and viewed doesn't mean it's getting better. It just means it's getting seen more. And it's, I think, up to us, especially who've been in the industry for a while, to make sure we're able to protect, especially young artists who come into this industry, from experiencing those experiences that we did. I'd say for me, I mean, racism is huge. I mean, around the world, but especially in Australia and in the music industry, it's still growing, and we're seeing more and more young black artists come up, but it's still an issue. And we try to and cry to create more avenues to make sure, younger artists who come up after us don't have to experience those experiences and have more options and don't feel weighted down to go through certain things. And whether that's publicly, we know that we give them support privately, and we ask them, to always contact us and to make sure, they speak into people who came before them for help and so on and so forth. But is it still a problem? Yes, it is. And hopefully we're able to create those spaces for them and show them the possibilities outside of the place they're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if it's something that you've been asked a lot, so I apologize if it is, but it is just something I really wanted to commend you on. I know you had a really lackluster experience, what happened at the Arias in 2019. But the way that you came back the following year and that performance that you did and the sort of calling out what happened, I just thought it was just so, not brave. Brave's not the right word. It was, but what I meant is it's just such a creative way to sort of point it out. I just loved that you incorporated it into your performance and just, let it be known, but in such a graceful and, bold way. So I just wanted to really commend you on that and thought that was brilliant. I just thought it was such a good way to handle it.
Thank you. I think that's the best way, as a musician, you can handle it. This is the way you express. So, that felt like the best way, but hopefully that doesn't end the conversation. It just opens it up again.
I think definitely the more artists like yourself, keep being unashamedly yourselves and putting out your music and being in the public eye, I think that's such a huge testimony for other artists, as you said, coming forward. And it does make a difference if you see somebody doing it. It lets you know that you can do it too, which is, yeah, fabulous. So I really do hope for that as well. And I hope that the industry does get better because it's just, music is such an important thing. So yeah, people need to hear it. And the more voices we hear, the better for all of us, I think, as a global community. Of course, you're coming, for the Perth Festival in early 2024. I know thousands of people looking forward to it immensely. Can you give us like tidbits on what have you got in store for that performance?
I may have let the cat out of the bag a bit too soon by talking about which, because that's definitely what I'm going to do now. No, I haven't been to Perth in a while, and I don't think I've ever been to Perth with my Zambian band. So it would be beautiful to really showcase Zamrock the way that we have been and the way we've been touring it. And on top of that, collaborate with which on the stage. So I think, a lot of people haven't seen how electrifying everyone is when we're on stage together. Talking about a family who's never toured around the world globally and who's never shared our music. So whenever we're on stage, we take it as a moment to really share, the music that we grew up with. So there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of love on stage, and just, showing people music they may have not seen or may have not heard of. So we're excited to do that. We're excited to bring some dancers through as well, and hopefully have that witch collaboration on stage. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be so good. And I wanted to just give a shout out to your, I don't know if they were your backup dancers or your backup singers, but there's, yeah. I was looking at your Instagram stories and there was this wonderful moment where I think you were all singing Boys to Men, possibly, or like an old R&B tune, and it was just so yeah. cool.
So, no, thank you. They're the singers. It's the whole band. We're a lot of energy. So what you see on stage is just half of how we are with each other as we travel, as we do all this. So it's very exciting. But yeah, thank you.
I was interviewing a local band earlier on in the year called Super Ego, and I wanted to ask if you remembered jumping on stage yes. with them, because it was
yes,
like,
I do.
Wow, they were like talking about this moment with you on stage, and I was just like floored, and it meant a lot to them. So I wanted to pass on that, yeah, you really affected them, and they dropped their...
They affected me.
They'll be amazing.
That was one of the first times I actually screamed on stage. I was like, there's a rock thing happening with me. I should explore this. So they were probably Zamrock before Zamrock. That was a huge inspiration to me.
And also I read somewhere, and I wanted to know, is this true or not, but that you are into sprinting, in your sort of...
Yes.
Downtime?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to have
Well, not in my downtime now.
Oh, okay.
But before I used to... Before music, I wanted to be an athlete. So I was really huge on athletics in high school. I actually did some athletics when I went to uni in the States. And I really was on, I'm going to be the next Usain Bolt. I was really in that mind frame. But
amazing.
at the time, the discipline for diet was... not there. It was non-existent. And as an athlete, you have to be really strict on your diet. And so that was one of the things that just was not working out well. And it kind of dwindled a bit and redirected me to music, thankfully. And now I do music. But before, I was 100% gonna whoop anyone in the 100 meters. Like that was my thing.
That was your jam.
So we would have been, that was my jam. We would have been seeing something really different had I taken that route. Maybe an interview about an Olympian.
It just fascinated me purely because, I'm really terrible at running, and I've always wanted to find out from a runner, tell me, what is this joy of running? Like, how do I get there? How do I experience it?
It feels like flying. That's what it feels like. Like when you're at optimum speed, it feels like you're flying. And I think that's like the beauty that is, sprinters have. It's just not just running and being like, why do you like to run? It feels free. It feels like flying. I think that would be,
A bit like soaring on stage, which honestly,
yeah.
I'm absolutely sure you are going to do at Perth Festival, and we honestly cannot wait to see you there. Thank you so much for taking the time and chatting to us for RTRFM. Honestly, it's been such a privilege.
Thank you so much for having me.